Please turn in your Bibles again to that portion of Scripture that we read earlier, Joshua chapter 11. And my text for today can be found in verses 4 and 5 of this chapter. And they went out, they and all their hosts with them, much people, even as the sand that is upon the seashore in multitude, with horses and chariots very many. And when all these kings were met together, they came and pitched together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee again for thy precious word. We know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And O God, our prayer today is that this text of Scripture and what we learn from it might be profitable to us in this 21st century. We thank thee, Lord, that thy word is a living word. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We pray, Lord, that you would come therefore and fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit as we would seek to preach thy truth. We thank thee that we believe that the Bible is the word of God. We thank thee that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, incorruptible, infallible word of the God of heaven. And O God, as we turn to the sacred page now, we pray, Lord, that you would bless us and fill us with thy gracious Holy Spirit. Defeat the devil. We're so conscious of his devices. We pray, Lord, that you would bind the strong man. And O God, in these days, that you would build your church. O God, we thank thee for the promise of the Savior. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. O God, we pray that in these days you would send us a breath of revival. So, Lord, we commit this service now to thee. Bless your word to our hearts. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. During these studies on the life and times of Joshua, constant reference has been made to the enemy that Joshua and the children of Israel had to face as they sought to conquer the land of Canaan. Indeed, we have noticed in these studies that as soon as one enemy was defeated, that another enemy very quickly rose up to oppose Joshua and the people of God. Therefore, the conquest of Canaan was a continual battle with the enemy. First, there was the enemy at Jericho. Then there was the enemy at Ai. Then there was the enemy that rose up in the southern part of Canaan, which we read about last week in Joshua chapter 10. And then fourthly, there was this great enemy that we have read about in Joshua chapter 11, led by Jabin, king of Hazor. You see, Joshua continually found himself confronting the enemy. Very simply today, I want to draw your attention to the enemy that Joshua and the nation of Israel had to encounter as they battled to conquer the promised land. And as we do so, I want to remind you, child of God, that we have an enemy that we have to constantly fight against in this 21st century. And of course, that enemy that we have to face is the devil, Satan himself. The Apostle Paul, when writing to the saints of God in 1 Peter 5 verse 8, says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Satan is the great enemy of the Church of Jesus Christ. It is interesting to note how the Bible describes the activity of the devil. Satan here in 1 Peter 5 verse 8 is described as one who walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. In Job chapter 2 verse 2, the devil describes himself as one who goes to and fro in the earth and who walks up and down in it. The truth is, the devil is always on the move. Satan is always looking for an opportunity in order to attack the saints of God. Why? Because he is the great enemy of the people of God. Dear child of God, you and I continually need reminding of this. Christian, watch out. The devil's about. And he will do everything within his power to weaken our testimony. I want you very simply today to notice three things about the enemy. And I pray that the Lord will speak to all of our hearts. First of all, I want you to notice the strength of the enemy. Look what it says in Joshua 11 and verse 4. In this text of scripture, we can see the strength of the enemy that Joshua had to face on this occasion. And they went out, that's the enemy. They and all their hosts with them, much people, even as the sand that is upon the seashore in multitude, with horses and chariots, very many. Notice how Joshua's enemy is described here in this chapter. They are described as a multitude, even as the sand that is upon the seashore in multitude. This was the strongest and mightiest enemy that Joshua and Israel had to face to date in their conquest of Canaan. All these kings and their kingdoms that we read about in verses 1 to 3, led by Jabin, king of Hazor, came together to oppose the people of God. And they had formed themselves into a very strong alliance. They were a mighty foe. They were a mighty multitude. Indeed, if there's one thing that this portion of scripture teaches us about the enemy here, it's this, that they were a mighty host. Child of God, we should never underestimate the strength and the power of the devil. Our enemy is like a multitude. The strength of the devil is like the sand that is upon the seashore in multitude. And with Satan there are horses and chariots, very many. The devil is described as a roaring lion, one who is able to devour. Of course, that's the picture that Peter in 1 Peter 5 verse 8 wants us to get of the devil. It's a very familiar text of scripture, but child of God, it is a text of scripture that you and I need to memorize. It's a text of scripture that you and I need to underline in our Bibles. The devil is like a strong, powerful lion, and you and I are no match for him in our own strength. And if there is a truth that we need to learn, then it is this truth. The devil has strength. The devil has power. And when the devil goes against the church of Jesus Christ, he comes against the church of Jesus Christ like a multitude. Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 also draws our attention to the strength and power of the devil. In Ephesians 6 verse 12, Paul says this, "For we," speaking to the saints of God, speaking to the church of Christ, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Is it any wonder that the Bible describes Satan as the prince of the power of the air? This is the enemy we have to face in this world of sin. He's like a multitude, even as the sand that is upon the seashore in multitude. And we have to face this enemy day by day, and week by week, and month by month. Indeed, we will have to face this enemy until we get home to heaven. And it's so important, child of God, for you and I never to forget that. We must never underestimate the strength of the enemy that we have to face day by day in our Christian lives. But notice something else here. Take a look at Joshua chapter 11 again. I want you to notice, secondly, not only the strength of the enemy here, but I want you to notice the aim of the enemy, or the purpose of the enemy, or the desire of the enemy. Look what it says in verse 5. "And when all these kings were met together," that's the enemy that was coming up against Joshua, "when all these kings were met together, they came and pitched together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel." There we have the aim of the enemy. The aim and purpose of the enemy was to fight against Israel. That word "fight" there, it literally means to consume. In other words, the enemy here wanted to consume Israel. They wanted to destroy Israel. They wanted to wipe Israel off the face of the map. But notice, this attack on Joshua and the children of Israel was planned not only with the aim of bringing Israel down, but it was planned well in advance. Now, did you notice that? That phrase in verse 5, "all these kings were met together," that phrase literally means this: all these kings were assembled by appointment. In other words, they had planned in advance to join together to fight against Israel. They had purposed beforehand that they would join together to destroy the people of God. Therefore, you can see the resolve of the enemy here. You can see the determination of the enemy that came up against Joshua and the children of Israel. Child of God, the devil has only one desire, one plan, one purpose, one aim in his existence, and that is to fight against the church of Jesus Christ in order to consume it. An adversary is one who opposes you. An adversary is one who fights against you. An adversary is one who wants at all times to destroy you. That text of scripture that we made reference to a moment ago, 1 Peter 5 verse 8. We can see clearly in that text of scripture the aim and the purpose and the desire of the devil: to devour the church of Jesus Christ. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. That word "devour" there, it literally means to drink down. It means to swallow up. Therefore, the plan and the aim and the purpose of the devil is to swallow up the child of God, to swallow up the Church of Christ. Oh, I say again, Christian, watch out. The devil's about. He wants to weaken and destroy our testimony. He wants to rob us of the joy of our salvation. He wants to render us ineffective for God. That's the plan and the purpose and the aim of the devil. The devil, of course, cannot take away our salvation from us. Thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of mine hand. If you're saved today, born again of the Spirit of God, thank God you have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. You're saved for all eternity. But you know, the devil will do everything within his power to rob us of the joy of our salvation. By weakening our testimonies, by causing us to sin, the devil can rob us of the joy of our salvation, thus rendering us ineffective for God. There are many examples in the Bible that I could give you where God's people lost the joy of their salvation. What about Peter when he denied the Lord with oaths and curses? What about Lot when he went down into Sodom and Gomorrah? What about Naomi when she went down into Moab? There are many examples in the Bible where God's people lost out with God because of the attack of hell. But surely the greatest example, or one of the greatest examples in the Bible, of someone losing out with God because of the attack of hell was King David when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. Did you ever notice what David prayed after the Lord revealed to him his sin? Well, keep your hand in Joshua chapter 11 there and turn over just for a moment to Psalm 51. This is the prayer that David prayed after God, through the prophet Nathan, revealed unto him his great sin. Now we're familiar with the story, no doubt, of David's sin of committing adultery with Bathsheba. And of course, after he had committed that sin, God sent Nathan the prophet to him. And Nathan the prophet revealed unto David that he was the man, that he was the sinner. And here we have David's prayer. Now we're not going to read all this psalm, but I want you to notice what it says in verse 12. What David prayed in verse 12. Look what it says. David prays, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." David had lost his joy. He had not lost his salvation. He had lost the joy of his salvation. And with it, he had lost his effectiveness for God. That is the aim and purpose of the devil, as far as the saints of God are concerned, to rob us of the joy of our salvation. Oh, Christian, watch out. The devil's about. He wants to rob you of your joy. He wants to rob you of your effectiveness for God. He wants to rob you of your power. And of course, that can be seen not only in the life of David, but it can also be seen in the life of Samson. Samson, of course, is one who lost out with the Lord because of his sin. And we're all familiar with that text of scripture that we read about in the book of Judges, when Samson got up to fight the Philistines and he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. The power of God had departed from him. The strength of the Lord had departed from him. And of course, instead of defeating the Philistines, he was captured by the Philistines, put into the prison, and they put out his eyes. Oh, how he lost out with God. But here we can see the plan and the purpose of the devil for the child of God. Oh, I wonder, is there someone here today? You've lost out with God. You've lost out with God. Oh, I pray that if that is the case, that you return to your first love today. Because thank God the Lord is married to the backslider, and the Lord is able to restore the years that the locusts have eaten. And we can see that in the life of David. And we can also see that in the life of Samson as well. Because the Lord forgave David after he repented. And thank God, David received the joy of his salvation again. And of course, Samson was used again, because we read there in the book of Judges that he slew more in his death than he did in his lifetime as far as the Philistines were concerned, because the Lord empowered him again. But oh, child of God, does this passage of scripture here in Joshua chapter 11, is it not a warning for you and I? Is it not a warning to us who are saved and born again of the Spirit of God? I believe it is a warning. And certainly in this day and age in which we live, in this 21st century, we need to be always on our guard, because there's an enemy to face. And he's a strong enemy. And he never takes a holiday. He's always on the move. And his aim and his purpose and his desire is to pull us down, is to weaken our testimony, is to lead us into sin. And that's why we need day by day to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Oh, you can see here that this enemy wanted to consume Israel. They wanted to wipe Israel off the face of the map. And you can see all of these kings coming together with one aim and one purpose and one goal: to fight against the people of God. That is the aim and the goal of the devil. That's what the devil exists for. The child of God, you and I need to be aware of that. Every morning we get up out of bed. Every day God gives us breath to live for Him. We need to be on our guard, realizing and recognizing that we have an enemy. And this enemy is strong. And this enemy has a purpose. Now, there's something else I want you to notice here. I want you to notice not only the strength of the enemy and the aim of the enemy, but I want you to notice the defeat of the enemy. How did Joshua defeat his enemy? Well, when you study this passage of scripture, you learn that Joshua did three things. First of all, he trusted in the promise of God. He depended upon the power of God. And he obeyed the precepts of God, or the word of God. Look at verse 6. And the Lord said unto Joshua. The Lord here is coming to speak to Joshua after this enemy has met together to fight against Israel. And in verse 6, we have a wonderful promise that the Lord gave to Joshua and the nation of Israel. Here's the promise: be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time will I deliver them up all slain before Israel. Now what a tremendous promise that was. We have noticed already a number of promises that God has given to his servant Joshua throughout these studies. But surely this must be one of the greatest that we have here in this portion of scripture, especially when we consider the might and the strength of this particular enemy that Joshua had to face on this particular occasion. What a word in season this was for God's servant. And you know, Joshua trusted in that promise. And Joshua depended upon the power of God. Because we read in verse 7, so Joshua came, and all the people of war with him, against them. Here we can see Joshua reacting to the word of God. Joshua here is putting his faith and trust in the word of God. Joshua here is believing the promise of God. And it's important, child of God, that you notice that. He's facing the enemy, this strong enemy, this enemy with one goal, to consume Israel. And as he faces this great host of hell, God comes and speaks to him and gives him this wonderful word of promise. Tomorrow, Joshua, they'll all be defeated. Joshua trusts in that promise, and he depends upon the power of God, and he obeys the word of God. Look at verse 9. And Joshua did unto them as the Lord bid him. Now, underline that text and don't miss that text. And then compare that text with verse 15. Look at verse 15. As the Lord commanded Moses his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. Joshua obeyed the statutes or the commands that were given him by Moses. And of course, Moses had received these statutes or commandments from God. Of course, when you obey the word of God, you will automatically trust in the promise of God and depend upon the power of God. And here we have Joshua defeating this great enemy that's coming up against him and the children of Israel. And child of God, I don't want you to miss how he defeated the enemy. Because how Joshua defeated the enemy in Joshua chapter 11, it's the same way that we defeat our enemy today. How do we see the devil defeated in our lives? Well, by obeying the word of God, by depending upon the power of God, by trusting in the promises of God, by casting ourselves upon the Lord, and by walking according to his word and according to his truth. Keep your hand in Joshua chapter 11 and turn over to that wonderful portion in Ephesians chapter 6. Now, we read it this week at our week of prayer, but I'm going to read it again. Here we have the secret of defeating the devil. Here we have the secret of defeating the enemy that we have to face day by day in our Christian lives. Look at verse 10. Here we have Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writing to the Christians at Ephesus. And he says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Was that not what Joshua was doing? In chapter 11, he was being strong in the Lord. He was putting his faith in the God of heaven. He was trusting the promises of God. He was depending upon the power of the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. In other words, let us trust the Lord. Let us depend solely upon him to defeat Satan, our great enemy. Put on the whole armor of God in verse 11. That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. My, here we have the answer. If we want to have victory in our lives, and if we want to see the devil defeated as he comes to attack us, oh child of God, how important it is to read this word, how important it is to meditate upon this book, how important it is to trust the Lord, how important it is day by day to live according to God's precious word. And I believe if we do, then we will get victory and have victory over the enemy. There's another wonderful portion of scripture. I've been quoting the verses. I want you to turn to them now in 1 Peter chapter 5. Again, they're familiar verses to most, but maybe not to all. But here again, we learn how we can gain victory over this great enemy of our souls. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, again, Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, speaking to God's people, first of all, he warns them, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. That's the fact of it. That's the truth of it. That's what we've been trying today to get across again to you, child of God. We must always be on our guard. We must never let down our guard. We must always be watching for the attack of hell. That's why I've continually said throughout this message, Christian, watch out. The devil's about. And if we are going to overcome him, then we must do what God's word says. And what does God's word say? Well, look at verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith? Whom resist steadfast in the faith? That word resist means to withstand. It means to strive against. It means to oppose. When you look at verse 8 there, the word sober means to be calm, to be collected, to be in the right frame of mind. The word vigilant there, it means to be alert. It means to be on our guard. In other words, as we live the Christian life, every moment of every day, of every week, of every year, we must be on our guard, watching out for the attack of hell. And then when it comes, we must stand fast. We must strive against. We must oppose this enemy. We must resist. And how do we do that? By trusting in the Lord. By depending upon his power. By obeying his word and living according to his truth. There's another wonderful text. It's over there in James chapter 4. Really, it's just emphasizing again what we've been saying, but let me just read it to you in James chapter 4 and verse 7. Underline that verse. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Now, do you want to be able to overcome the enemy? Do you want to be able to live in victory in your Christian life? Well, submit yourselves therefore to God. That's the first thing. And that simply means to submit yourselves to God's word. The Lord in his word tells us how we're to live. Submit yourself to that. The Lord in his word tells us what we're to do. We are to obey that word. Submit yourselves therefore to God. And then it says, resist the devil. And of course that word resist there, it means the same as in 1 Peter 5 verse 8. It means to strive against, to oppose. Now that word, submit there, that word means to yield yourself to. To yield yourself to. And here's the promise. If we submit ourselves to God and resist the devil, then here's the promise. And he will flee from you. He will flee from you. Look at verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Oh, child of God, There's no reason why any of us should live in defeat in our Christian lives. There's no reason why the devil should get an advantage of us. But he does. He does. But if we are going to see him defeated in our Christian lives, then we have got to obey the word of God, and we have got to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You see, we need to realize that we are no match for the devil in our own strength. And we need to realize that we're no match for Satan in our own ability. But in the power of Christ, and by obeying the instructions of God's word, and by pleading the merits of Christ's precious blood, we can know, and we will know, victory over our great adversary, the devil. In Revelation 12, verse 11, it says concerning the saints, and they overcame him. That's the devil. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Oh, thank God we are on the victor's side. We are on the victor's side. The Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary, praise God, he defeated the devil when he cried, "It is finished." Man's redemption was completed once and for all. And thank God the Lord Jesus not only died, but he rose again. And not only did he rise again, but he ascended back up into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of his Father, ever living to make intercession for his people. And because he lives, thank God, all power is given unto us. And because he has conquered hell, we will conquer hell. Oh, I pray that the Lord will come and speak to us through his precious word this day. And of course, when you read the rest of this chapter in Joshua chapter 11, you read about how Joshua defeated this great enemy. Oh, child of God, let me finish by saying this. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I pray that the Lord in these days would keep us in the Word, reading God's truth and studying God's truth and meditating upon God's truth. And I pray that the Lord would give us the grace to put it into practice in our lives, that we will obey this Word. For the obeying of this Word and the living according to this Word is how we gain victory over the enemy that we have to face from day to day. Christian, watch out. The devil's about. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for your precious word today. Lord, a word of warning, and yet, Lord, a word of instruction. We thank thee, Lord, for the instruction that we have here. Oh God, we can see the strength of the enemy, and we can see the purpose of the enemy and the aim of the enemy. But oh God, we thank thee. We can see the defeat of the enemy here as well. And oh God, we pray in our own Christian lives that you would help us to live above the world and sin. Help us, Lord, to live on victory ground. And oh God, help us day by day to submit ourselves to thee, to yield ourselves to thee, and help us to resist the devil. And help us, Lord, to bring glory and honor to thy name through our testimony and through our walk and through our witness. Bless your word to every saint this day. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.